My name is Bob Dickinson. I am the head of public relations and media services for the American Le Mans series. And with us today from Corvette Racing are Johnny O'Connell, driver, and program manager Doug Feehan. Thank you, Johnny and Doug, for being with us. Johnny leads the American Le Mans series in all-time starts with 85. He's won 29 times, including the recent 12 hours of Sebring, with teammates Jan Magnussen and Ron Fellows. He's regarded as one of the top sports car drivers in the world and has proven that by winning three times at the prestigious 24 Hours of Le Mans. Doug Feehan runs the Corvette Racing Program and is regarded as one of the top program managers in all of motorsports, is given much of the credit for Corvette Racing's seven consecutive GT1 class championships. Doug's also led Corvette's foray into alternative fuels, and much of what we want to talk about today is Corvette Racing becoming the first factory program to debut a cellulosic E85 fuel. But first, let's start with Johnny, and let's talk a little bit about racing first, Johnny. I don't want to say you're an old hand at this, but with 85 starts and 29 wins, you've seen a lot during your sports car racing career. A few weeks ago, you again mastered the 12 hours of Sebring. Next weekend, the American Le Mans Series travels to St. Petersburg, which is a short street course. Talk a little bit about how a driver prepares and approaches courses with such extremes, Johnny, if you will.
That's the only thing that's not working.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bob. I mean, the approach to both is really the same. I mean, there used to be a time in sports car racing back when I first got in, you know, where if you went to a long race like the 12 Hours of Sebring, you'd back up your pace a little bit, you know, from what you might be able to do lap time-wise, just to conserve the equipment. It's a very difficult and challenging racetrack, very bumpy. You know, these days, though, in order to be successful, you literally need to run every lap like qualifying. And, you know, our Corvettes are certainly capable of handling that, you know, type of abuse that we give them. And so, you know, the mental approach between Sebring and St. Petersburg is the same, which is you're going out there and you aren't wasting any track time. From the second that you're on the track for practice or qualifying, you're pushing every lap as hard as you can and trying to give the best feedback that you can to your engineers to make the car better. So, you know, the mental aspect is different, is the same. The physical aspect, you know, the street circuit, you know, it really places more of an emphasis on your technique in slower corners. You know, your corners there, you don't have any fast corners like you really do at Sebring. There's one, you know, kink on the back straightaway that's very challenging. But for the most part, it really places an emphasis on a driver's ability to slow the car down, bring the car into the corner as deep as they can, but also maintain that momentum to get out of the corner. And the biggest thing, you know, when you're racing at St. Pete, you've got to be mistake-free just because, you know, if you do make a mistake, it's going to hurt. I mean, those concrete walls are right there, and, you know, the worst thing you can do is hurt a car and make your guys stay up all night fixing it.
All right, Johnny, let's move over to Doug for the next question. Doug, Corvette Racing at St. Pete becomes the first factory race program to race on E85. Talk a little bit, if you will, about how and why this decision was made and what type of performance you expect with the new cellulosic E85.
Well, it's an interesting story. For those that may not know, GM, quite frankly, is the world leader in the production of flex fuel vehicles. We've produced over 2.5 million and are the largest producer in the world of flex fuel vehicles. So obviously this thing has gotten some traction inside the company. So about 2 years ago, as this was rising to prominence, I thought it would be very interesting to begin to look at what the possibilities were of using an ethanol-based fuel. And we ran some very preliminary tests, just on a whim, in the dyno room, and we had some very favorable results. It was quite interesting, and that was the whole idea in my mind, was you know, just an interesting experiment. It began to gather momentum, and it's my responsibility to put programs together and to continue to withdraw funds from the corporation with which to drive these programs. And so you have to find things that are of interest to the corporation in a broad base. And so I got talking to them about the possibility of racing with E85, and it struck a chord. It resonated with some of those executives, and I saw this selfishly as an opportunity to continue to glean funds to drive the program. At the same time, unbeknownst to me, the series was working to do precisely the same thing. The American Le Mans Series has I think positioned itself as a leader in this area, and they were in pursuit of a similar thing. They called me and asked me if I'd be interested in thinking about doing that, and I said it was amazing. The timing was incredible. There was just this confluence of great thought. I jumped at the opportunity, took it obviously to my bosses and to the hierarchy. They thought it was a wonderful idea. Corvette has always tried to position itself as a leader, not only within GM but in the racing community. I think we're a leader in safety. The things that we've done, helmets in pit lane, first to use Hans device when it wasn't required, the side impact box that we've developed, the side safety net. I still think we're only GT manufacturer to ever crash test a race vehicle to ensure its safety. And this was a chance for Corvette, again, to demonstrate that leadership. We knew it would come with challenges, but we felt we were best equipped from a manpower standpoint and from a technology standpoint to deal with these challenges. Somebody has to be first. We wanted to be first, and that's what we decided to do. It's been a very interesting road. Again, we've had some challenges. I think we've met all those. Quite frankly, from a performance standpoint and from a mechanical driveline standpoint, that the transition is fairly seamless. We did run into a small problem in working with our fuel cell manufacturers to develop a fuel cell that will hold the fuel, but I think we've reached that goal, and St. Petersburg will be our debut at the Cellulosic E85. We're quite excited about it.
Great. Nick, thank you very much. Let's take some time now to open up to our media callers. Please identify yourself, the media outlet you are with, and to whom you are going to address the question. So who would like to be first?
I will. Paul Ferris, the Globe and Mail in Toronto. The question is for Doug.
Yes, Paul.
Can you give me an idea of the difference in performance from that you any differences in performance from the using the E85 ethanol fuel?
Well, quite frankly, from and I'm assuming when you're talking about performance, you're talking about horsepower and torque.
Yes.
Virtually none.
Really?
Virtually none. Now, keep in mind that this is a mixture of ethanol and of race gas. So it's primarily the cellulosic ethanol. But it's amazing because ethanol, on a volume basis, contains a little less energy than the gasoline we're accustomed to running. When you look at a typical individual cylinder combustion process, you have to have more in there to develop the same explosion.
Okay.
So the thing that does differ slightly is the fuel mileage.
Okay.
But from a power and performance point, it's virtually the same.
Okay.
Tony, go ahead. I think that's Tony's voice.
This is Tony Fabrizio, Tampa Tribune. Doug, I actually have a couple of things unrelated. But first on the fuel, have the fuel cells been increased in size, and was there a rule change to accommodate that?
Yes. Actually, they haven't been. Well, they have been increased in size. And there's a couple of areas here that need to be comprehended. The FIA has a general rule globally. They don't want any race car carrying over 110 liters. What the American Le Mans Series has done is stayed below that 110, and looking at what I just talked about, the fuel efficiency differences, we're going to be allowed to run 105 liters, and those that choose to run gasoline in our category, I think, are running 90 liters.
So you were limited to 90 liters at Sebring?
Yes, we ran the race gas at Sebring. We ran 90 liters at Sebring.
Okay, so your cell, you actually are installing larger cells into the car.
Well, the cells the cells stay the same. In order to, because cells expand and contract, and the cells actually have blocks in them, and you tailor the volume of the cell with the blocks. So in other words, a guy who's running, say the Aston Martin that's running 90 liters, I'm guessing, and I don't have intimate knowledge of that, but I'm guessing that cell probably holds 100 liters of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But they put in a volumetric control block inside the fuel cell that limits it to the 90. So you can tailor your fuel cells. In the Corvette, we actually run two cells. They're split tanks. They're saddle tanks. They run on either side of the car because they're in the actual production position. And then there's a crossover with them. We're working very hard to get to the 105-liter mark. I think we're up to 102 liters right now. I don't know that we'll actually be able to carry 105, but that's what the rules will allow us.
Okay. The other topic I was interested in asking you about is, when you look at the American Le Mans Series, the competition in the prototype category is pretty interesting right now, largely because of the P2 involvement, and GT2 is pretty full. But what is wrong with the GT1 class, and how frustrating is it for you guys essentially to be racing against yourselves?
What's wrong with it is Corvette. You know, we are victims of our own success. I attend about 6 meetings a year, both with the FIA and the ACO over in Europe, and it's made up of all the major manufacturers. And I've had some very candid conversations with those manufacturers, and quite frankly, when they look across the board at the economic investment, the commitment in time, and all the resources necessary that it would take to compete against us successfully, I think they tend to shy away from it. I don't want to name names, but I've had some very candid and close conversations with manufacturers who said we just can't go there.
Additional questions for either Johnny or Doug.
Hi, this is Cindy Zimmerman at Domestic Fuel. I have a question for Doug. Actually, I have a question for Johnny, too, but let's start with Doug. It seems like as far as the domestic fuel industry is concerned, the big story here is the fact that you're using cellulosic ethanol rather than traditional corn-based ethanol. What was the decision-making process behind that? And tell me a little bit about your supplier there, since cellulosic ethanol is really not commercially available.
It will shortly, I think, becoming more commercially available. The cellulosic approach only makes sense. As any new energy source gets developed, you know, its composition, its manufacturing, its supply, all that changes. It's always in flux. There's no one that thinks that ethanol is the answer. Ethanol is a part of an overall solution, and that's why we chose to go in this direction. The cellulosic, it's stuff off the forest floor. It can be orange rinds, essentially garbage, for which all the things that people look at in the cost or carbon footprint of a fuel, you know, how much water is required in the production of it, how much water does it take to grow, irrigate, and fertilize. I mean, you know, this is a huge science question that can be debated from now until the end of the world. The reality of it is the cellulosic, because it's made from scrap and garbage, is ultimately cheaper to produce. We're very happy to have the cellulosic. K&L happens to be the supplier. They're the producer. They have a plant. I think there's several other plants that are coming online very shortly that will be producing the cellulosic as well. From a chemical composition, it's pretty much indistinguishable whether it's corn-based or cellulosic-based.
Well, and Johnny, my question to you is, do you anticipate any differences in performance? I know Doug really already answered that question, but I guess what I'm looking for is differences in performance in the positive side when you race now to continue your success.
Well, you know, it's a good question. I mean, I think performance-wise, you know, the program is always moving forward, and there has been absolutely no loss in performance at all. I mean, the Corvette's, you know, when we have run the ED5, is every bit as amazing as it's always been. You know, one slight challenge that Doug, you know, brought up is we need to carry a little bit more fuel, which means that, you know, for us, you know, tire-wise, it might be a little bit more of a challenge to the tires, and you might find a little bit more tire wear. And, you know, normally a race car goes its fastest when it's light or towards the end of its fuel run. And so, you know, being a little bit heavier at the start of a stint, you know, we might be a little bit slower than we would like, but, you know, we'll make that up on the other side. And again, it's, you know, with us being on the Michelins, really, you know, tire wear is never an issue for us, and we know we have, you know, the backing of them to help us out on, you know, as we go forward with this program. But, you know, I think, you know, for us, you know, a very cool aspect of it is that, you know, we all want to try to be as green as we possibly can and recognize that, you know what, you know, we do need to change things in order to keep, you know, racing in our culture as you know, as we go forward. And, you know, Chevrolet has always been a leader, you know, in so many industries, not just safety. And I think it's just appropriate for us to showcase this, you know, not just to our fans, you know, in the American Le Mans series, but again, you know, the ALMS is broadcast in something like 80 countries, and so the amount of attention that the series gets and that Corvette Racing, you know, gets around the world is significant, and it's kind of neat to be a part of a program that is moving things in a positive direction.
Okay, additional questions for either Doug or Johnny?
From the Globe Mail in Toronto again. Just kind of jumping off on Johnny's last point and Doug's point about green racing. I mean, you mentioned, Doug, about the autograph lines and merchandise sales have been through the roof. Is the message of green environmentally friendly racing getting through to specific Corvette owners or Corvette consumers? Are they making the connection between the performance of the Corvette that they drive and the environmentally friendly version on the track?
Very, very, very good point. Very good point. We're not limiting this to just Corvette. You know, myself as well as the corporation view the Corvette as the technological spear of the entire GM lineup. I mean, you look to Corvette as the quintessential performance vehicle that we produce. So consequently, Corvette was a very logical choice with which to demonstrate to an unknowing public, for the most part, of what E85 is all about. You know, in any sort of ignorance or lack of knowledge is bred fear or apprehension. And quite frankly, we want to use this program to kind of blaze the trail, to let all people know, not just GM customers, certainly not just Corvette customers, but a wide range of people who may follow the series, that there is no stigma attached to E85, that there are no performance issues, that you can put it in your car and it will run just as well as what you're currently using. That's kind of the message we're taking forward. Do we hope it resonates with Corvette customers? Yes, and we know it will because they follow this more closely than most. But we also hope it resonates not only through the rest of the GM family, but to all people. I mean, if we can send this message to everyone in North America, you know, that's a great step forward. And it obviously it looks good for GM that we're doing this sort of thing.
Right.
Okay, we have time for a few more questions.
Question for Doug Feehan, Eve Pickman, Corvette Quarterly.
Hi, Eve.
Hi, Doug. I was wondering if the change to the cellulotic E85 was going to have any impact on your pit strategy.
No, quite frankly, it won't. The way we have the fuel balanced between the cars should be you know, within a lap or two of what we've always been. And, you know, there is some balancing that the sanctioning body has gone to, which basically is some math-based changes. You know, Johnny talked about it briefly when he talked about the weights of the car, because mm-hmm. we'll be carrying more fuel. Our cars weigh more, so the cars that are carrying less fuel will be ballasted to weigh the same as we weigh. Obviously, the volume of fuel, which is, again, a math-based problem. And the things that some people may not think about, and that is the ability to fuel and how quickly you can do that in a pit stop, mm-hmm. because we'd be taking on, theoretically, 105 liters. They'd only be taking on 90. The orifice size has been mathematically changed so that the fueling times are the same. So all in all, strategy, no change. Pit stops, no change. To the spectator, there should be no discernible difference in whether or not we're running the ethanol-based fuel or gasoline.
We're going to have time for maybe one or two more questions. Just want to cover a couple of things before everybody gets off. And in terms of talking about the ethanol, too, we talked a little bit about KL Process and Design, which is the provider, but I want to also tip our hats to the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council, EPIC, which we've been a series involved with for 2 years now, and has been really driving all of our ethanol initiatives over the last couple of years. So I want to be sure that we mention those people as well. One or two more questions, and then we're going to have to go. Anybody else have any questions for Johnny or Doug?
I do. My name is Tom Stever. I'm with Brownfield. I do have one for Doug, if that's all right. Doug, yeah. You had mentioned that there were issues with the fuel cell and with the degradation after several hours of some of the adhesives in there. Now, would this give anyone who uses a consumer type of E85 in a passenger vehicle, would that give them cause for concern in their own vehicles?
No, it wouldn't. because in the fuel systems and fuel tanks in today's world, there's nothing that's glued together in those. A lot of those things are blow molded or vacuum formed materials that are impervious and don't have to be assembled the way these fuel cells have to be assembled. So from a passenger car standpoint, that simply wouldn't exist.
Okay, one last question.
Greg Johnson from Bit Magazine. This is a question for Doug. Doug, the formulation of the fuel that you will be using at St. Pete, is that the same formulation that was used by the independent teams at Sebring?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and Bob, you can help me with this. There were two different formulations that were used at Sebring, okay, and done so, and we actually tested with a third formulation in trying to find the proper balance. And there's some underlying information here that everyone should understand. The fuel cell manufacturers do a wonderful job of building super safe cells. To date, though, the cells have been built either A, for the exclusive use of ethanol or methanol, or B, the exclusive use of gasoline. This is the first time that in these concentrations the two materials have ever been mixed together. And that is a challenge that we anticipated, and that's why we wanted to be perfectly sure that as we move forward, we'd come up with a proper, number one, a proper formulation for the fuel, and number two, a cell that could handle it, and we're there. So the formulation, the goal of the American Le Mans series is to have a single formulation used by everyone, and the formulation that we have just finished testing is in fact that formulation, and that will be the fuel that everyone will be using as we go forward.
Great.